Book of Proverbs once again, Proverbs chapter 18, and let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs 18, we'll be reading two verses, but we're going to be focusing on one. We'll use the other one as a reference here, and we're going to talk about tonight, Proverbs 18, 13. If you have your place, follow along as I read. The Bible says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame unto him." Can we read that out loud together? Ready? Begin. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame to him. And then a verse that's related to this is down in verse 17, where it says, "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we read it now and as we contemplate this matter of holding our tongue, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to us tonight. Lord, I know it's a midweek service and many of our folks are just rolling in, and many of them, Lord, have had a hectic day and they've gone through their schedule and now they're here, many feeling like they've just made it. And I pray that you'd bless them for that endeavor to be here. I pray that you'd encourage them and, Lord, increase their faith and help all of our unbelief. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be an encouragement tonight. Help me to be a blessing. I pray that you would help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, that I may be filled with your Spirit. Lord, that you would just use me as your mouthpiece and preach through me your message. Lord, I pray in turn that you will set a watch at my lips and prevent me from saying anything that would be a hindrance to your Holy Spirit or that would be an offense to these dear people that are here tonight. Rather, help me to be obedient. Lord, just help me to say only in all of those things that you'd have me to say for the glory and the honor of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we promise, Lord, tonight, when the last amen is said, that you'll be glorified and honored, Lord, for all things that are good and perfect that come from heaven. Lord, teach us tonight what it means to hold our tongue. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Broadcaster Paul Harvey told a version of the following story on the radio many, many years ago, and it goes like this. There was an old man who was a great admirer of democracy and public education. So close to his heart did he hold both institutions that he tried to bring them together into one grand experiment, a public college where students would practice self-governance. When I read this, I thought, that is crazy. But this is what happened. The old man was overjoyed. There would be no regulations. The goodwill and judgment of the students would have to suffice. After years of planning, the school was finally opened. The old man was overjoyed. But as the months went by, students proved time and time again that they were not the models of discipline and discernment that the old man had envisioned. They skipped classes, drank to excess, wasted hours in frivolous pursuits. One night, as the story goes, 14 students, disguised by masks and animated with wine and drunk off their senses, went on a rampage that ended in a brawl. One struck a professor with a brick, and another used a cane on his intended victim. In response, the college trustees convened a special meeting. The old man, now 82 years of age and very frail, was asked to address the student body. As he stood in his remarks, he said that he had expected more, much more, from the students. He even confessed that this was the most painful event of his life. Suddenly, he stopped speaking. Tears welled up in his failing eyes. He was so overcome with grief that he sat down, unable to go on. His audience was so touched that at the conclusion of the meeting, the 14 offenders stepped forward to admit their guilt. But they could not undo the damage already done. So a strict code of conduct and numerous regulations were instituted at the college. The old man's experiment had failed. But why did it fail? Because he took for granted the one essential ingredient necessary for success, and that is virtue. Only a virtuous people can secure and maintain their freedom, he said. A short time later, on the 4th of July, the old man passed away. Engraved on his tombstone were the simple words that reflected the success and the failure of his most important successes, important experiments. Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration of Independence and the father of the University of Virginia. Now, Paul Harvey used to say, you know the rest of the story. Isn't it amazing that you read things like that and you think, wow, that's really good. And as I introduced my son to Paul Harvey tonight, he was intrigued. He thought, wow, I've never heard of this guy, and he has so many good things to say. And I told him now, whatever the mystery or whatever the riddle by story that he's saying, it will keep you baited until you hear the final ending, and then he will always end it by saying, now that's the rest of the story. And for most of us that used to listen to him, he used to close it by saying, good day, and then he'd go to commercial. Isn't it interesting that for some people, we don't like to wait for the rest of the story? For some people, we like to jump ahead of the facts. We like to try to guess or insert our opinion or perhaps come to a conclusion without knowing the full disclosure. Many people just chime in with their opinion or judgment, and according to our text, the Bible says that is a shame. In fact, notice if you will back in Proverbs chapter 18, it says, he that answereth a matter. Underline that word, answereth a matter. It means to return a word, or literally to answer without knowledge. The Bible says the individual that answereth a matter before he heareth it, or the idea of hearing it has to do with understanding with full disclosure, it is folly, and that is shame unto him. Now, I don't know if it's necessarily is a sin to interrupt somebody, but I do know at the least that it's rude. I've been trying to teach our kids not to interrupt, and I find myself in trying to teach them not to interrupt that I am in turn interrupting them. It's insane. It's a wicked cycle. But this verse goes farther into detail about those who would perhaps answer a matter before they know, who say the first thing that comes to mind without thinking or having all the facts in. Sometimes men would sit and listen to their wives, and as their wives are describing something, because they don't want to take the time to listen to all the details, they try to get the gist of what they're trying to say, and they try to jump in right before they're done and either give the solution to the matter because they're really tired of listening to it and they have better things to go on to do, at least in their mind. And in fact, it comes back to haunt them. It becomes folly or shame, even in a home. If you know anyone like this, you would conclude, as I have, that there are several things that are revealed when someone passes out their opinion or hands down their judgment without having all the facts. Now, I'm not really going to preach tonight. I'm just trying to try to give you some counsel, okay, about this matter of holding your tongue. How many would confess now, Pastor, if there's one thing that I could still learn to do, even at my age, it would be to hold my tongue. Is anybody like that with me? Okay, good. So we're relevant at least with this proverb tonight. Good. Now, you and I both know that when somebody does that, there are more than likely a variety of reasons why that happens. Why is it that somebody feels like they have to interject their two cents into a conversation, even though they just walked up, they've never listened to all the details, or even if it's a conversation between two people who know each other very well, what is it that's revealed by someone that feels before they have all of the facts that they can just pronounce an opinion or give the right judgment or the right act without listening? Well, certainly, for instance, I think it would reveal their immaturity. Kids oftentimes do that. They feel like they have to say something and they don't really know. And to be honest, it's not just kids, it's teenagers, and sometimes young adults do this, or even older adults would do this. It just proves a level of maturity that they haven't necessarily got to. And I think you understand that. I think that someone who would answer a matter before he heareth it would reveal their immaturity. I think in some cases it certainly reveals their ignorance. And by the way, remember, ignorance isn't a sin. You're just dumb to stay that way. So if you're going to reveal ignorance, it's really nothing bad about it. It's just absence of knowledge. It's without knowing all things. And so when you, next time you open up and you decide to, I'm going to settle this now before I know all of that, my wife is for, just let me finish. Just let me finish. Many times ladies will start out with the really, really bad. And though it may already have ended really, really good, they want to take you through the obstacle course of all of the emotion. And we just want to hear the bottom line. I just want to know how it came out. I'm not interested in the process. I just want to know the product. But, you know, that's when we show our ignorance in most cases. Immaturity is revealed. Ignorance is revealed. As I thought about this and I was praying and asking God to help me, I realize that oftentimes people who jump to judgment or decide to answer a matter before they hear that, sometimes it's because they have a vain imagination. What I mean is sometimes people want to get their opinion or judgment out quickly to impress someone else or to put themselves up higher. If you look at verse 17, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just. You see what I'm saying? It kind of answers to the fact that, well, I'm going to show them my prowess and my wisdom is of so great wisdom that I don't even need the details. I have that foreknowledge. I can just put my two cents in and it would suffice. Immaturity, ignorance, vain imagination. Sometimes it's a matter of verbal incontinence. They just lack self-control. They just have such a habit of sharing their two cents or making whatever's inside come outside that they just lack the temperance that the Holy Spirit wants to grow them in. Instead of taking the instruction from God and saying, hey, listen, I need to maybe just withhold my two cents. You know, I've always been taught as a younger preacher that when I'm in the presence, like all those fellas that talk so wonderfully on Sunday night on video, when I'm in the presence of those guys, I don't say anything. I just keep my mouth shut. In many cases, I don't want to reveal my ignorance. In many cases, I want to learn. And that's the whole point of answering a matter. You know, sometimes I think even in church, we can hear a text announced and all of a sudden we can answer a matter before we hear it. We can already, hey, I know where he's going. And I can turn that channel because I've already concluded. I don't need this. See, that's kind of the same thing. A verbal incontinence, I think it also reveals a virtual inordinacy. That is a lack of moderation or anything that deviates from order. Order, even in polite conversation, would say, okay, well, the one that's trying to communicate the message first needs to finish the thought before I either resolve or give a resolution or just show that I care. And so many times it's just some like to hand out their opinion just to go against the fray of better judgment. Now, all of those things, I think that anybody in here, given a few, half 30 minutes or an hour, could come to the same conclusion. I suppose you could sum it all up by saying, when a person opens their mouth without having all the facts in the matter, it is just a lack of judgment, which could lead to some trouble. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 21 and verse 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Now, how many, don't raise your hand, but probably everybody in here at some point understands the practical application of that verse. Whoso keepeth his mouth, that is, guard it, protect it, and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. We have all said things that got ourselves or each other in trouble. And it would be great, wouldn't it be awesome to rewind life in segments like you edit a video and just like stick a cork in it? Just, whoop, no, oh, I'm glad you didn't say that, and whoop, you know what I mean? And that's what God's wanting to teach us, and I think it, given the society that we live in and the microwave, you know, we want the instant results, and we are certainly lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's what the Bible declares, and we are given more, minute is best state is altogether vanity because it is a vain show. I think we need to learn a lesson about holding our tongue. Did you know that not everything that you think and or feel needs to be said? Most people don't get that. Most people in America are like, I have a right to say it, I'm going to say it. Can I just say this? As a Christian, you don't. As a Christian, you don't. Because if it's not used to the edifying, and certainly it's not true, especially since you don't have all the facts, then you probably need to, like I do in many cases, just need to learn to hold your tongue. So I want you to take your outlines, and briefly tonight, I want to spend the next 10 or 15 minutes, that's right, you heard it right, the next 10 or 15 minutes, I want to give you four simple suggestions as it pertains to holding your tongue. Now, the real reason I want to be brief tonight is because Brother Benefield's not going to be able to hold on too much longer. He's going to go out, he's going to take his nap, and I really want him to stay here with us just for that long. So he's got about 17 and a half minutes left on his pacemaker, and we're going to be right there. It was so interesting that you said all the kindnesses. I said to Matt, who's he talking to? It certainly can't be from me. But anyway, should I be that unkind to the father of the future bride? I'm not sure. But it would be certainly apropos, I guess. But think about this for me while he's still awake. Think about these four simple suggestions, all right? Now, you find yourself in a conversation or maybe even gossip. Okay, now let's just bring it down to where the rubber meets the road. Someone begins to speak of something that may be a little passionate for you. Could be a variety of subjects. And all of a sudden, before you get all the facts, you jump to the conclusion, and if you're not careful, especially in the realm of gossip, you could ostracize a member of the family of God without even knowing the full detail. That's the problem with gossip, because it's kin to lying, okay? But when you think about the temptation that the devil has for all of us, especially those that perhaps have a quicker wit, and instead of using the governance of the Holy Spirit, we think that all of a sudden it's our duty to portray our all-knowing intelligence. By the way, that's not your attribute, that's God's attribute. He's the only one that can answer all things always rightly, okay? Especially without the facts. So when you think about, okay, I'm in a situation or I need to learn to hold my tongue, Pastor, give me some counsel. Okay, write this down. First of all, you just need to be sensible about it. Just be sensible, okay? You can have an opinion on all things, but be careful about how you form your opinion. Don't form it based on half-truths. Don't form your opinion based on half-truths. By the way, the press is great at that, aren't they? You look at this mess at Ferguson, even the mess that was in Stockton when those fellas robbed the bank and they grabbed the hostages and they went out, and then the one hostage that was left was supposedly shot without regard of life by the police officers, and they want to run all of the police officers all into one bucket and throw them all out in the trash with gas on them and burn them alive. And then the details come out later and they go, oh, well, we were just calling it like we saw it. What about the facts? What about the facts of the guy in Ferguson? What about the facts in Stockton? What about the facts with Rodney King? What about the facts with all of these things? You see, the press does a great job with formulating an opinion and making other people sway that way just because they don't want to give all the facts or they don't have them yet. Now look, you can report what happened, but don't make supposition a part of your insensibility. You follow me tonight? Be sensible about what you're doing and how you're forming your opinion. Don't take verses out of context to form your opinion. Be sensible about Scripture. Be sensible about things that you're hearing. Don't let personal persuasion or public rumor form your opinion so that all of a sudden I'm drawing in a nanosecond from everything I may think I know in absolutes, but I have nothing absolutes. And if you don't see it, it may or may not have really happened. If you don't know absolutely for a fact, don't draw a conclusion and open your mouth and prove your ignorance later. Why? Because it's a shame and a folly. It would be better to exercise some sensibility before you open your mouth. If you're going to hold your tongue, then you've got to be sensible about the matter. Be careful about casting judgment, because although you can judge, listen, an action, and by the way, Jesus said to judge a righteous judgment. You need to understand, that's Bible. I can judge an act, Brother Benefield, if it's morally right or morally wrong. Would you agree? Absolutely. Morris, would you agree? You would agree. Randy, would you agree? If something, if an act is to be judged, I can judge whether that act is right or wrong. I know the act of abortion is murder. Amen. I know that is morally wrong. I know that murder is morally wrong. I know adultery is morally wrong. That is simple to judge the act. But without confession and full disclosure, I will never, ever be able to judge a motive. Do you understand? I've got to be sensible about how and when and where and even why I open my mouth and give credence to my intelligence or my ignorance. Notice in your notes, Proverbs 16, verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find what, class? Good. Shall find what? Good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. You know what that means? It's okay if you don't know everything. God's in control. If you really trust God, then you're okay not answering a matter at all. Amen. I don't have to give my 2 cents. I've given my 2 cents so much, I don't know how much sense I have left. You see what I mean? If I held that, I may have something a little more valuable to say. The Bible says in Proverbs 10 and verse 19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is what? Is what? Let's read that out loud together. I like that verse. Proverbs 10, 19. Ready? In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. I tried to use that verse, tried to help a staff member years and years ago, and it didn't work. They just refused. Some people just talk and they 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 talk. And I've come to the conclusion, not only was it a revelation of their immaturity, it was really just an insecurity. Some people feel like I need to say something in order to be accepted. Otherwise, they're going to think I'm dumb. And so they have to say something all the time. No, no, no. I don't have to say anything at any of the time. You see, not all matters have to have your approval or disapproval. They don't. If someone's not asking for it, you don't have to give it. So, you are allowed at all times to keep your opinion and your judgment to yourself. Did you know that? You're allowed to keep it to yourself. I didn't know that for a long time. I figured I had to give my opinion all the time. But I don't. And by the way, the best opinion to give is God's opinion anyway. So you got to be sensible about this. Let me say number two, you need to be safe. You need to be safe. Always give a person the benefit of the doubt. When you start listening to a story or you start going down this this road of a conversation, whatever is being said, either about you or about another individual or about the individual that's speaking, give the individual the benefit of the doubt. You know what this does? This protects two people, you as well as the others in the matter. That's what it does. It prevents Satan from getting into the muddy water. John 7:51, doth our law, doth our law judge any man before it heareth him and know what he doeth? No. Even the Apostle Paul, they wanted to hear what was done by him and his accusers. Now, I don't know how it happened. I think it was the hand of God. His accusers would never come down, but he was willing to be heard. They said, okay, nobody else come down. You tell us what happened. And of course, he was able to speak. Proverbs 18 and verse 17, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just. So be safe. Now, listen, let's just put this in context here. For a king, Solomon is the writer of Proverbs, his son to whom the letter is written, there will always have to be a rendering of judgment. As a monarch, of someone in leadership, you're always going to have to render a judgment and a sentence. But his caution is not to speak hastily because of the ramifications. For those of you that are in leadership, those of you who own a business, those of you who are a manager of some kind, you have people who are directly reporting to you, I would caution all of you by this verse to say to you, be very careful before you hand out a sentence or you pass judgment down that you're not listening to all of the details and exhaust that. Yes, it may take more time, but what's the expense? Folly and your shame by not getting it right the first time? I'm appalled, like everybody else is, about this whole Ray Rice thing and all of the domestic violence that's going on. Even Adrian Peterson, in his ignorance and doing what he did to his own children. And here's what got me about Roger Goodell and about the NFL statement. Their press spokesman said this: "We didn't get it right the first time, but we should have." Do you know what that tells me? That they decided to pass judgment without gaining all the facts. What they should have done is thoroughly investigated each and every case individually for what it is, gathered them all, and then said, my judgment is this. Now, more than likely, Roger Goodell is probably going to lose his job and $44 million a year that he's already been receiving for the last 10 years. Okay? Now, that's crazy to me. This guy makes all that money, and he's not smart enough to say, hey, I need to get all the facts. I don't make that much money. And I even know that you probably shouldn't hand out judgment without getting all the facts. Now look, I'm just saying, we got to be safe. We need to be sensible about this. Let me say number three, we need to be searching. It goes along with what I just said. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Now, let me say this. Before you form your opinion, You do need to search out the facts of the matter. Okay? I would say that. You do need to do that. You need to search out the facts, what is really truth. But can I say this also? You need to search the scriptures as to how to proceed after that. And you need to search how the Spirit is leading you. It's one thing to say, I want to gather all the facts so I can pronounce a healthy judgment on this individual, as opposed to saying, now that I have all the facts, how does the Spirit of God want me to respond? Because even with all the facts, listen very carefully, even with all the facts, the Holy Spirit may say, you need to hold your tongue. The Holy Spirit may say, don't answer a word. You say, well, what's a Bible illustration? I'm glad that you ask. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was reviled, reviled not again. He knew all the facts. He knew what was in man. He knew he couldn't trust him. And yet, even though he was wrongly chastised and wrongly judged, he never said a word. Why? Because God said, don't worry about it. I got everything under control. Did you know that that one principle of God having all things under control could probably save all of us from 99% of the problems that we create by assumption? Somebody give a testimony right there. That's reality. If we would just, let's put a tagline to it, let bygones be bygones. If we would just let be whatever is going to be, and knowing that our faith and trust is in God, we could very easily hold our tongue and say, God, you're in control. I don't have to defend you. I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to defend anybody else involved. Lord, I don't have to give an opinion. I can hold my tongue just by searching how God wants me to react in the situation. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. What's the understanding? I think it comes with the fear of the Lord. I think it comes with knowing that God's in control. I think it comes from how close you walk with God. I think it comes from what your purpose is in living. Turn over, if you will, to Daniel chapter 2 for a minute, and I want to describe a biblical illustration of this that I feel the Lord brought on my heart today. When I read that verse of Proverbs 17:27, this story went to my mind. Daniel chapter 2, I want you to notice down in verse 12. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar was not the nicest guy in the whole world, although he owned it. He was a pretty ruthless king, very self-absorbed. And he had a dream, and he summoned all the wise men and all the wizards and whatever. He said, okay, I had a bad dream. It's haunting me, and I want you to interpret it. And they all said, okay, tell us, and we'll interpret it. And he was like, oh, no, that ain't going to happen this time. See, what you want me to do is tell you the dream so you can make up some good things to tell me, and then I'll think that everything's okay. But instead, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell me what I dreamed. Now, if I were those guys, the gig is up, because I am not going to be able to tell this man what he dreamed. And they say, nobody can do that. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, perhaps in haste, perhaps in his passion, perhaps in his anger, said, off with their heads. Kill them all. Well, the Bible tells us in verse 12, something happened. It says, for this cause was the king angry, very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. Notice this, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. I don't know if it says it in the Hebrew, but it could say first. They went after those guys first. So here's what happened. And Daniel answered, notice this, with counsel and what? Wow, with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is this decree so hasty from the king? And Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel, it's another time it says that, went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in case you don't know. His friends, companions. Then verse 18. They would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning his secret. Now what are they searching for? Divine wisdom. Now they answered, the Bible says, with counsel and wisdom. That is what they knew to do. They saw the favor that God had given to them with the current administration. And now that they have been given a time and space. Now they're going to search God as to how they need to answer. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. Verse 19. Then was the secret what? Revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Did you know what happens when you ask God in waiting rather than answering a matter before he heareth it? Do you know what it does? It honors God. It makes him know, Lord, I'm not willing to utter one idle word if it's not pleasing to you. That's what it says. How they would please the Lord. Now you read what happened. And God spared Daniel and everybody else because of the decree that he gave. Daniel did exactly what God told him to do. I'm just simply saying, many times we could save ourselves and many other people trouble if we just sought the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If we're going to know how to hold our tongue, what we should say, when we should say it, we've got to be sensible. We just got to think. We got to be safe about it. We need to be searching. Number four, let me say it as a way of a negative admonishment. Don't be shameful. Don't be shameful. The Bible indicates that folly is a result of not obtaining wisdom and understanding. Now, folly, as we know by definition, reveals a lack of good sense. An act which is inconsistent with the dictates of reason or ordinary rules of prudence. The fact of the matter is, in one fell swoop, I can open my mouth and prove that I'm a fool. Isn't it interesting, though, when a fool holds his tongue, he's considered wise. Even a fool, if he shuts his mouth in the company of wise people, is considered wise because he's not answering a matter before he hears them. You see? Notice the word shame. The word shame, I think you may have it in your notes, is embarrassing. How many have ever been embarrassed by something you said? Anybody? Anybody else? Okay. Anybody done it more than once? Yes. I remember being in Vons, a Southern California grocery chain, with my mom. I think I've told this story before. This Vietnam veteran would come in and he'd be in a wheelchair, a World War II vet, be in a wheelchair, and his leg would be gone. And he'd be pulling up behind us in the line to check out, and I'd turn around and I'd go, Mom, his leg is gone! Now, after I picked myself up off the floor, when it was still legal to do those kind of things, I felt embarrassed. I was disgraced. I remember saying one time, I can still see it in my mind. I was in the foyer of a church that my wife and I grew up in, and this lady came out into the foyer. And I'd known her, I've seen her there for a long time. And I said to her, when are you due? Now, to someone who's due, that's not that big of a deal. You're inquiring because you care. But to someone who is not due, that's a big to-do. I said, when are you due? And she said, I am not pregnant! My dad grabbed me with a red face and we ran outside. What is your... Dad, I thought she was pregnant. She's... Hush! Let's just say I've been embarrassed more than at least once or twice in my life because I didn't hold my mouth. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. The fact is, it means embarrassing. It means disgrace. Or listen to this, that which brings a reproach or injures a reputation. Now let me say this. For the lost person, this is somewhat irrelevant because they're ignorant to God's word and wisdom. To the lost person, I don't care. I don't really give a rip of what you think I said wrong or right. I'm not interested in the fear of God or anything like that. But to the saved, listen, to bring shame is everything. Because when we cast judgment or level an opinion, it is not only our reputation that is at stake. If you are a child of God, you bear the name of Jesus Christ because you've been born again into the family of God. Oh, we love to sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. We love that song. We love to be included in that. But let me just make sure that we're being very careful tonight. That when you leave here and you open your mouth, be very careful that you're not bringing disgrace to Jesus' reputation. I don't always have to answer. I certainly shouldn't be answering a matter before I hear it. Make sure that before you speak that you have the name of Jesus Christ and His reputation in mind. Here's some verses to think about in your notes. The simple inherit folly. The simple inherit folly. That's why you need to be searching. But the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. You shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. But every prudent man, notice, dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Now, we could ascertain then that timing and truth go together. Would you agree? They do. Timing and truth go together. If you should become like those of Berea, the Bible says, who search the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so, then you will have what is necessary to answer even a fool according to his folly. That's why the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak." Now, as Paul Harvey would say, you have the rest of the story. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this passage of Scripture tonight. Lord,